Hi guys, Scroobius Pip here. At the beginning of the drunk casts, normally a day or two later, I record a warning to go at the start of them to warn you that this is three guys getting really drunk and probably saying absolutely horrific and inappropriate things. Only problem is because these were recorded on Sunday and they're going out on Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, because we've recorded five, we got really drunk. Because of that quick turnover and the fact that I'm in London, I've got work on Monday and Tuesday, I'm on set for a thing and I'm recording a thing, I'm having to record the warning while still drunk, having just got home from the drunk cast. So this is me at the end of the five episodes, so that's 5 hours of getting very drunk. And as you'll hear from at the end of episode one, I think Chris and Stuart drank a whole bottle of rum between them. But this is just a warning that the drunk casts get messy if you're of a sensitive disposition. Maybe skip the drunk casts. There'll be loads of new podcasts in the new year. But this is episode one of five. I'm now going to record an intro for episode two as well. And then episode 3, 4, and 5, I'll probably record sober later in the week. But, yeah, this is the drunk cast. We're back. Have fun. Oh, also, we run out of Polaroid film. So the fifth episode is just a photo of me in my kitchen because I had more Polaroid at home, but we recorded it at Stu's. Okay, here's the drunk cast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the annual end of year, year roundup drunk cast. I'm here, the 22nd sexiest man in Essex, officially this year, joined by the 22nd oldest club promoter of all time, Stuart Griffin, by the 22nd defendant in Cambridge County Court, Chris Glasson. here we are. How's it going, guys?
It's all right.
I wasn't in a possible situation, Your Honour.
No time to explain.
Imagine
that in court. No time to explain. Anyway, I'll keep this brief as this is kind of the intro bit. But yeah, we're going to have a good old catch-up, aren't we? Mm. We've not done any drunk casts this year.
No, so we've bottled it all up.
Well, even the ones that didn't come out, were they last year?
It was last year, yeah.
What? 2018?
Yeah, the one that didn't get released was 2018, because we've done one since then, last year's end of year, when we talked about the unreleased. So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's literally been a year. It's why we've put a decent amount of time aside as well, so we can get three, maybe four, maybe five episodes in. We'll see how it goes.
Five episodes. And
we've got a lot of booze. And, I mean, you guys have had some wonderful stuff presented by your sponsor, Bang Boom Creative, some food and drinks.
Sexy
look. You've just had a sip, actually, Chris. Mm. We are now drinking Captain Morgan's gingerbread spiced rum. What's it like, mate? I'm going in.
Yeah, it's quite nice. I'm going to give it a 7, which is a very average score, isn't it? But that's all right.
And I'm once again drinking a Scroobius, the drink of the decade now, it turns out.
Oh, okay.
who rated it, the drink of the decade?
Verified
everyone,
by...
Everyone, really. Okay. Just most of them. And it's I'm gone for the Slingsbury Raspberry Rhubarb Gin again with Pepsi Max. Anyway, let's start the podcast so we can drop the intro in. Oh, no, before I should warn people, if you've not listened before, this is just us getting drunk for several hours. Yeah. Could be offensive. Apologies in advance. We'll probably be horrible to each other and
ready,
everyone else.
Steady, go.
This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction. This piece of fiction is the intro to destruction.
And we're in. So how's it going, guys?
I'm really looking forward to this, I must say.
Although, I'm exactly the same.
I woke up with a hangover.
So did I.
So yeah, but I didn't drink. So, I think this is the fear of knowing how bad today's going to be. You had a little drink last night then, mate, did you?
Well, no, not really last night. Yesterday afternoon, I caught up with a few old friends and we had a few drinks in London.
Mm. Lovely.
And we ended up in the bedroom bar where we used to work together.
No.
Yeah, we did a few nights there.
Rebranded as something.
Right, okay.
Exactly the same. They've just rebadged it, you fool. Can I have a JD and Coke, please, and a vodka Red Bull? Yes, no problem. That's £26.
Singles, don't say that you can't be single.
Automatically doubles, no choice.
Yeah.
Which you didn't tell me.
No. But wow.
Two drinks, 26 quid.
Oh, this country.
In a plastic half pint with a little blue like plastic straw in it. Now when you think, not even in a glass.
That makes me sad.
It was pretty shit.
That's where I did my meet with the fans when I'd vowed that when I reach 100,000 followers on Twitter, I'll meet as many of them who want for a drink and I'll buy them a drink. And I did it at the bedroom bar. But I got some beer brand to send us. They said, we'll send you a limited amount of free ones. And then the bedroom bar will be like, yeah, we'll have loads. I only had about 100 people turn up, so they just drank all the free beers, then we all fucked off.
That's amazing.
They didn't make a penny that night.
That
I mooched about saying hello to everyone, and yeah, it was ideal.
That makes me feel better about last night. Now.
Yeah, yeah, completely. But it's you've also been out this afternoon. It's Mumma Whiffin's birthday, right?
70.
Yeah. It's a little
big bit one.
Well, so she must have had you young.
Oh, do you know what? I actually thought you were just saying something quite. No, you're just being a fucking arsehole.
Yeah, we said how many times we're going to insult your mum on her birthday.
Yes.
Was it nice? Did you have a nice time?
I had sausage and mash. It's nice.
Lovely. Very Christmassy. You can say. Jesus.
That's on a plate, this. Oh, bless her. 70.
Mm.
And the kids have come back now. Everyone's fine. Everyone's survived it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So a thing that I'd made a note, and it's because, and again, B will testify to this, I do this every now and then, it's the most annoying thing in the world, but I should have mentioned it first, but I found a new game for you to have a catch-up about what you've been up to.
Okay.
Oh, what?
And it's, you have to tell me your day from the moment you woke up till now, but to the tune of Tom's Diner.
How did Tom's Diner go? What's that?
Shall I?
Yeah, go.
Well, I woke up in the morning, my head was slightly hurting, so I went down to the front room, I had myself a coffee, then I got myself together, and I walked my little doggy, then I got back in my car and went out to have some lunch with my mum. That's my day.
It's my favourite thing. You could go on for hours and hours.
That's really going to be my new favourite game.
Yeah. It's such a good game to play. So I've not done much today, but yesterday, well, I woke up and I got up and I did a little workout. Then I went back to bed for a bit and watched a bit of TV. Then I had myself some lunch and then I did a second workout because it's Christmas and I'm eating loads and I don't want to get fat. Then I went out into London by a car I parked in. I went to Union Chapel, went to see Amanda Palmer, had a catch up with Neil Gaiman. Then I drove myself back home and then I watched the UFC. And really enjoyed the main event.
Wow. That's amazing.
I've annoyed B before by doing them literally just about 10 minutes of that. Never get into the So, Chris, over to you. How's your day been? All weekend. You can start yesterday. You can start beginning the week if you want.
I woke up in the morning, I apologised to my girlfriend, I said it wasn't my fault and that she took it too wrong. Then I got out of bed and made her some scrambled eggs to make up for the things I said all last night. That's not even a thing, is it?
That's not even the tune. Absolute guesswork.
Listen, Molly, I'm just really sorry. Okay, I'm just really sorry.
Yeah, it's a fun way to catch up. I recommend it over Christmas. If you're visiting people you haven't seen in a while, maybe do the whole year. Have a little catch up on what you've been up to.
I think that would be a really good game to play just as your better half. You're just dozing off last thing at night.
Yep.
Just to recap through the day.
Yeah. I am starting to get sleepy.
What was that other game we played on one of the first drunk casts, which was you had to
Soggy Biscuit.
Oh, that was after. When we had to do, it was the theme tunes, but you have to go from like Superman into Indiana Jones into Star Wars. That's a tough
that
one.
That started on one of our drunk drives home from Birmingham, wasn't it? Drew was having to put up with us going from
well, when we get pissed later, we'll try it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, to tell people things that we're going to have, I mean, a lot of the notes, I went through my notes and a lot of them are just insults I've come up with for you guys over the years.
Wonderful.
Like,
Okay.
The Ren and Stimpy of podcasting, Chris and Stu. But anyway, I'm going to talk a bit about the gig I went to last night because it was really good. I've noted that we might have a chat about Stormzy at Glastonbury.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's nice.
A day that me and Stu had in London when we bumped into Paul Whitehouse and Kathy Burke, and Stu was very excited.
Wow.
So I have some stories on that. Chris's birthday, your live show, an update on how Chris's Willy is, because that was big news in the last Drunkcast.
Oh, God, yeah.
I had an idea that we should do, have a think of things that would have gone viral if Twitter was around in the 90s.
Wow, okay, that's a good one.
But we'll have
one.
A think
like
on that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about We Are Lizards as we've wrapped it up. Yeah.
There's some good questions coming on your Instagram.
Some good Instagram questions, so we'll go for Instagram questions. We've also got, for the first time, I think we're going to start it in episode two, the celebrity questions section.
Ooh.
Where we've got some celebrity questions, some favourite fights of the year, podcasts of the year, TV shows, films, Stu DJing in Dartford. It'd be good if we can end with 20 questions again. We were really drunk, Chris, because that's always entertaining. And they're the main notes I've got. I've also just got a note that says R. Kelly, Epstein and Prince Andrew, all cunts. So we can discuss that. So we can discuss that. Hype. Have you got anything that jumps out particularly?
Just Stu in Dartford, talking about some movies that I really liked, some documentaries, some computer games. I actually had a go on the computer this year, which was
nice. Or we had a good gaming day, so we could definitely talk about that.
Yeah, a couple of fights, and just an update on my penis.
Good.
How about you, Whiff?
He's also got an update on your penis. It's very subjective.
You've had a big hand in that, healing that.
Pretty much what you said. There's not a lot more I can bring to the table other than...
We know.
I'd like to just bring a little bit of attention to the jacket you turned up in today.
Yeah,
I know that you mentioned that you've decided to change your style.
That's right.
And go for like a timeless style.
More timeless. Go on. So what's this timeless look?
You kind of come as some sort of like Nordic fisherman today.
Mate, yeah.
Wearing what I can only describe as like... sort of like an inside-out sheepskin.
Yeah.
That's
it. Like, the sort of thing that you'd be embarrassed if your dad turned up to pick you up from infant schooling.
Sheen jacket, isn't it?
Weirdly, Chris came round mine a bit early and he was saying one of the films he's thought he'd missed this year but looking forward to is The Lighthouse. Oh, and he's very much in costume for The Lighthouse.
Definitely.
He looks like he works on a lighthouse.
Mm, yeah.
It's like when fans get excited for a new Star Wars film, they sort of like start dressing up outside the front of the cinema. I'm doing that for The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
I can't wait. But again, like I thought you were going to absolutely massacre me there, but you're really just encouraging me to continue to look more like a fisherman. People at work are like, oh, you dress like a fisherman again. And I'm like, that's exactly the look I'm going for. So, except for me and Pip have got matching sweats on today.
Correct. It was a previous Christmas present, wasn't it?
I think it was from the big drunk cast where the whole of the distraction piece.
Yes, that's right. So the year before last.
Where you took a poo outside, that one.
Yeah. And again, I think that's something that I want to discuss early on, actually, because I realised something from listening to Hardcore Listing. Because you
just
mentioned...
Just how professional your podcast is.
Just how professional the network is and how proud I am of everyone. Because Chris was talking about how you got on to me... having my mum having to pull over and me shit in a cricket club after that particular drunk cast.
Yeah.
And Chris was saying how pleasing it was because it's rare that you see me that drunk in all the years we've known each other.
Yeah.
And again, it made me realise that I don't get drunk enough to throw up or to shit. Because the other example that you had was throwing up out the side of a cab. I get car sick after. If I'm drunk, I'll be fine as long as I'm not in a car. It was as soon as we got in that car. And it's something I'd not really processed because I was like, how come there's these two times that I was literally fucking really ill? But then as soon as I got home after that one, I was absolutely fine. So it's just I get really car sick if I'm drunk.
Do you believe any of this, Stu? Oh, like, the thing is, every time I'm in a car with you guys, that's when I'm sick. Yeah. When I'm not and I drink loads on my own, I'm absolutely fine.
No, but genuinely,
When I'm getting wasted with all my other mates, it's fine.
No, you know I don't drink much anyway, but you think of the last of all the other drunk casts, the one that I've got really... And we were having... Again, I'm not hiding anything. We were having to pull over about... at least 10 times, more than 10 times on the drive home for me to throw up and to shit. And again, we've never known that of me. And it's not that, as it was because on one of your hardcore listens, you were saying, he didn't even seem that drunk. Like, we've had drunker drunk casts.
Yeah.
And that made me think, well, yeah, actually, it was that. And then it was when Chris said, the only other time I've seen him do that, and I had to come into your mum's house and take a shit before the cab took me home to Stamford.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, it's the travel part of it, I think.
Right, all right.
Yeah. It's the booze as well.
Right, all right.
Fucking hell.
Anyway.
Why are you getting scientific?
Well,
still shatting a fucking golf course.
Well, before we get going then, as Chris has mentioned...
You're going for a shit in my garden.
Yes, have a shit in your garden. I've got a note here, actually, that I don't... It's from one of the drunk casts ages ago, but it's just question mark... Shit in the toilet? Question mark?
Shit in the toilet.
But I think it was because whenever we do the drunk cast at mine, Chris would really... I mean, at times he'd barely open the door to piss. Literally. First he'd go at the end of the garden, and then he'd just be at the window, and then it progressed.
Yeah, so I was I was peeking through, watching your conversation while urinating against your studio.
And that one as well.
It's a day for pissing outside, actually. So the kids are... They're not in bed yet, are they? It's only... Half four.
You were recording this quite early, it's worth mentioning. As I said, we will be going to the socials, because Facebook, awful. Got really bad questions. There was no one good. All of you post questions, you're shit. Except for Connie, who's a hardcore listening fan as well.
She
posted a load of good ones, and then I went on there today and they're gone.
Oh, no.
But I remember noting, I was going, oh, she's posted like four or five good questions there, and I thought, Facebook has been saved. And then
maybe she got embarrassed.
It's just not been great. It wasn't anything that bad.
Everyone else was.
Yeah. But the Instagram ones have been really good. Brilliant. So we will be.
You responded to just the one so far, which really made me laugh.
Which one was that on yours? On these questions, because when you guys posted about the drunk cast, one person commented saying, "Hope Pip gets drunk and shits in a graveyard again." And I just corrected. It was a cricket club.
That's what I meant.
Graveyard. Oh, I've got a graveyard story from this year, and it's absolutely releasable.
Excellent.
Really?
I'm going to add that onto the list, because before we get into our stories and whatnot, I mean, I do want to talk about the Amanda Palmer gig last night, because it was one of the best things I've ever seen live in my life, genuinely. Wow. But before we get onto that...
It's Prezzy's time. I've got Prezzy's for you as
Merry
well.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Shall we open them now? Do you want to hear this?
Go ahead.
Look at this. Look at this. Presents for everyone.
We're all handing them out.
So I'm opening up Pippikin's one, and he's got me. Oh, what's this?
Lynx Africa box
set. You lucky bastard. Oh, mate, I've got a triple jackpot scratch card. I'm absolutely made up about that. And
that you're going to be genuinely excited.
I know what this is. This is a Cthulhu beanie hat.
It is.
Are you shitting me?
It is. A Cthulhu, it's described as a ski hat, but a beanie hat,
But it's Cthulhu. Welcome to H.P. Lovecraft.
How terrifying is that?
Smells like your jizz as well.
I've not been wearing it.
Oh, man, that's amazing. I just know I look great.
I saw that online. I thought, that is a bit of Chris.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, gang.
And it genuinely looks good. I think that looks good. You're not a fan, Stu. You look quite
terrifying.
Yeah, but... Right. Yeah. At least you've got a little bit over your eye at the moment, you know what you're getting with this now. Do you know what I mean? There we go.
So for people who don't know, Cthulhu is a Lovecraft kind of... it's a bit like a human kraken, isn't it?
Yeah. He's one of the outer gods. Yeah, he's got... he's asleep at the moment. Due to wake up in 2020, so I'll be there with this.
Yeah, to welcome him in.
Oh, amazing.
I've got from Stu a How It Works book, and it's the dog. So
you like dogs, right?
I do like dogs. I've always been curious of how they work.
Yeah,
it's got me my investigations have got me in trouble a few times, but it's better to read about it than be quite so hands-on.
If you pop your finger up their bum, they will let go of you.
Yeah.
That's what I've discovered over the years. And
that's
just
dogs.
It's always annoying, isn't it?
Oh, wow. The Crap Secret Santa gift book. This is perfect because this is twofold. I've actually got to do Secret Santa this year. I'm really not up for it at work.
Perfect.
And if this is so bad that it's not worth reading, guess what Henry's getting?
Oh, awful.
Exactly. That is amazing, Stu. Thank you, mate. A Frumpty Smooth Blender, inventor of that little claw thing that helps remove them. Okay, yeah. Thanks, Stewie. Let me get your presents. Right there.
See, I got you a scratch card each as well, because I thought that's always a cop-out present, isn't it? For Stu, I copped out, because I thought, well, Lynx Africa is a classic Christmas present, so Lynx Africa set...
I think I can remember when Lynx was launched.
Yeah, I imagine you can. Ooh.
Well, I've said this before about scratch cards. I don't like buying them for myself because I don't like putting luck in fate's hand. Yep. I think the day you'll start filling out scratch cards praying that your luck's going to turn round, you've given up on life at that point. But if someone buys it for you...
They're good as a gift.
Hey.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, so... So I bought Stu. What's it called, Stu?
Off the Record.
And basically, it's a game. That's,
do you know what? Am I going to open this tin and it's just going to be a bit of paper saying you're a cunt? No. Because you've got previous.
I have got previous. That's glue. That's kind of sellotape around the side, right, mate. You're going to have trouble getting into that. But what that is, mate, it's... Well, read it out. You like a little readie read.
A Laugh Out Loud music-themed game tests the drawing, miming, describing trivia and humming... skills of team members. Spin the record and decide which round will be played, and then select a card and a song with a song, artist or instrument answer. Oh, mate, sounds ace.
Yeah, because I've got a bit of an issue with me and Shu recently. This is a little insider into... We've done top five things about each other, haven't we, recently?
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that annoys me about Shu, and you might be able to agree or disagree on this, is he makes up band names, and then now he posts pictures when he goes to see him. Gene,
yeah,
Squeeze,
what?
They're not bands.
No. David Devant and his Spirit Wife.
That's fucking absolute bullshit.
Yeah, he does do a lot of that. He will send me a picture being like, "Oh, I just recorded a podcast with the basis from insert made up word here," and I'll be like, "All right, he'll be really excited." I'll be like, "All right, that's cool."
I think he's got a problem with it because after we...
That's cool for you and that guy you're in the room with. That's cool for the two of you. Did you need to record it?
No, it was a basis in this really obscure indie band from the 90s.
It would have been fine for just you two to have a chat. You would have been just as happy.
You'd have just gone for a pint.
And I've been given the Blockbuster video game, which is very exciting.
Well, you like movies.
I do like movies a lot.
And I thought that could be fun, but...
The case is incredible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like,
it just looks like a big video case.
My biggest problem with that... Go on, read out what it is.
It says on the front, a movie game for anyone who has ever seen a movie.
Hey.
Bring home the entertainment. The golden age of video rental is back with a party game. All about those movies you know and love. Yeah. And like all great blockbusters, this one is a double bill. Part one is the movie Buzzer Battle. Part two is Triple Charade's Jeopardy. Let the good times roll.
So, my only problem with that, in retrospect, is you never have anyone over. So, I don't know who you're going to play that
true.
With.
So... No, but I'll do very good on my own. I'll just have the questions, answer them and go, yep, that was correct. Next one. Correct again. Yep. Correct again.
Thanks,
mate. No, that's very exciting. Thank you very much. I've also got each of us...
Yeah.
There you go, Stu.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Mate. Thank you.
Some camel balls.
Okay.
So
we were just in the shop earlier and they had camel balls on sale and we were quite confused.
So on this picture of this suite, it says camel balls and it's a picture of a camel looking behind, like in like normally like a, like if you'd imagine like
manner.
a sexy model's pose.
Yeah.
But it's just a camel flashing his nuts at us.
Yeah.
And that's a suite now that you can buy in stores. And that picture of that camel was about a foot big in the in the kids' shop.
There's a bigger version in the shop. It's quite sexy.
So I don't know what this country's coming to.
And
you
tried to shoplift some Nurofen, right?
Again. Every time I go in this store, shoe, I either accidentally steal something or I haggle him down so bad.
Accidentally haggles him down. The guy, there was one time, he had three things that were like out of date or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, the guy had said, 50p each, and Chris said, "I'll give you a quid," and walked out. But what Chris thought he said was he wanted 50p for the lot of them. So Chris thought he was being nice and giving him a little tip. He said, 50p each, and here you go, here's a quid. And the guy was like, "Oh, all right."
And the time before that, I hustled him on his beer prices, didn't I? I told him that they were out of date.
I mean, he did keep having things that are out of date for sale in his shop. And Chris is, for some reason, the kind of person who looks at the date on the beers in a shop. I don't know how he became this person.
Better get rid of these. They're all out of date. Now that weird geezer will be in at some point.
He's not been back for a while. Like, well, out of date's out of date, isn't it?
But yeah, I nearly stole from him today. And a bit like your, I only ever get sick in cars. I seem to only ever steal from that shop.
Yeah, yeah. You
believe me or not? Are we going to? Is it too much to scratch a scratch card on a podcast?
I mean, you could do. It's exciting, right? It's drama, right?
What's the deal with should we win vast amounts of money?
Well, it's yours, obviously. That's a gift. It'd be terrible to be like.
Definitely recorded.
Percentage. So, who's going first, Stu?
I don't know if that's going to be an annoying sound. I'm scratching it. Stu, next year I'm going to make you a diehard jumper, mate, so you can be in the gang.
Thanks, mate.
Could have done it this year, but forgot. Everyone, how you doing? You won anything?
Everyone enjoying this?
Oh, mate.
So how's it work? There's a thing at the top, and then you've got to match it in that row. But there's the bonus game as well at the top.
If everyone can imagine that at home.
I mean, I don't know if we need to wait one at a time. Yeah. Is this really going to be...
I need a coin. Hold on.
Yeah. If you fat.
Got my own coin, mate. Thanks.
I think that's yours. You left that here anyway.
I make my own. She's just given me a bottle opener that says, "Are you clear?" And it's a chlamydia screening program. Why have you got that, mate?
Never you mind.
Stay out of my business.
Never you mind.
There you go.
Right, okay. So, out of this 5-hour podcast-a-thon, first 40 minutes is going to be us scratching off scratch cards.
That's exciting, though.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to do... Oh, my God. That's so close to...
a win.
Winning the big time there. Look, 250,000's there.
Oh.
Game 21 thrown.
Oh, you've won a tenner.
Have I? How do you know?
Your number's the 21. That's a 21.
Oh, right.
£10.
Right, cool. What's that? Hang on.
He's won £10 already.
Fucking hell. And I don't
that's
have
got
to
35
share,
there, and there's 35 there. Does that mean I've won a fiver?
I think so,
yeah. And you don't have to, you don't have to share that. And I don't have to share my tenner. Come on, win it big. Come on, 37.
It's exciting, right? There's £15 won so far overall.
You made it. How much for these? We're all, well, you haven't made any of your money back.
Shut up, Chris, I'm concentrating.
One of my mates, he used to keep all his scratch.
I want another fiver.
You haven't. This
is two tenners, see? Best Christmas present ever, guys. Scratch cards. You'll keep the kids quiet for 10 minutes.
Best Christmas present ever, worst podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bang. £10.
And you've got the bonus ones at the top, the stars.
You've got to get... Scratch your star, mate.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it not?
What does it say? Is there just a thing?
It's a star,
You can scratch the stars off.
Scratch the star.
It's because you're using your nail instead of a coin.
Okay, that next line, I haven't won anything.
This is good. This is podcast gold. Okay. I think we can all agree repeatedly.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm happy. I've won a tenner.
You've won a tenner.
I've won £10.50.
Yeah, you've nicked my 50.
But we have to share it, mate. That's what you said. I've won a tenner.
He's taking his time. He's got one more. He's doing them methodically.
Won £20 and I.
Fuck off.
No, not joking.
Two more bonuses.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right. A wad.
Christmas truly has come.
It really has. And a chest. I don't really know what that means. Oh, you've got to find a little fingers crossed thing for that. Yeah. No, okay, I'm happy. I'm well.
Won £20 there.
Wonderful. Thanks, £30.
We've done all right there. Thanks, Pippi.
Not bad, eh? Yeah. I'm lucky with scratch cards.
Oh, really?
I don't buy them often. It annoys me because I'll buy a £5 scratch card a couple of times a year and I'll always win at least a tenner.
Yeah.
And I'm genuinely on a profit on scratch cards. But it's because, as you said, I don't buy them all the time and I don't... Put my this is it. This I'm going to win this or whatever.
Don't put your hopes into it, folks.
Yes,
I'm quite liking this gingerbread spice one. But I'm going to say this, and I hate to have to say this. Mm-hmm. Your Pip, your Scroobius Pip, the reimagined version after the quite scathing feedback I think you got when you first released it. Mm. It's pretty good. That seems to be rhubarb gin with a Pepsi Max is actually really good, mate.
It's pretty. Special. We've also got like a crate of beers from, I think it's from Beer 52, and some Borderlands ones that I told you about.
Mm.
Yeah, match up to the game. So there's beers on them.
Well, we've drunk half a bottle of Morgan Spice rum already, Chris.
Yeah, it's a good start. Mm. So I'll just jump in with this gig last night because it was genuinely one of the best things I've ever seen. So Amanda Palmer, I've seen a load of times, and she's always good live, but her new show is like a 4-hour show. That's like...
that sounds shit already to me.
Yeah, completely, exactly. I went in like, hopefully it'll be good. And it's her talking and telling stories and then blending them into songs and playing her new songs and a few old ones. And it was honestly one of the most emotional and exciting things I've ever seen. Like, I cried numerous times at different stories and songs. Genuinely, it was in the Union Chapel. She referenced Springsteen's show that's on Netflix. I've not watched it, but apparently his is similar in a way. It's him telling a lot of stories of his youth and then going into his songs about it. But, yeah, I've always been a fan of Amanda, but last night it made me just think that she's one of the best to ever have done it. It was that good. It was really... All the songs were amazing, but the openness of the stories and everything else, it was... Fucking mind blowing.
Nice journey. Where was you sat? Near the front, in the back?
On one of the balconies near the front, and then it was nice in the interval because Neil Gaiman was at that one, and he was like, "Are you coming to the after party?" And I messaged saying I'm not. So he got us to come backstage and say hello to him and Amanda and all that. So that was good to catch up with them guys. But yeah, genuinely, it was one of them where
Neil doesn't know you enough yet to know that. He's probably taking
obviously
offense.
I'm going to have left early.
Yeah.
He's going to take an offence. He's like, I thought we got on really well. No, we got similar interests.
You mentioned the word party.
Yeah, and it was the fact that the show finished at 10:30. There was a UFC on that night, and the Pizza Hut in Grays closes at midnight. So I knew I had to get there to collect a takeaway to take home for the UFC. Otherwise...
Well, I don't blame you now, mate.
I would have missed...
Yeah. I mean, you would have organised that at least 10 hours in advance of that, wouldn't you?
Oh, mate, in my Tom's Diner song, I didn't mention that I also spent a bit of the day checking the opening times of the Papa John's in Grays, which closed at 11:30, the Pizza Hut at 12, the Domino's in Stamford is 10:30, the Papa John's in Basildon is 11, the Pizza Go-Go in Basildon is 1. So that's good. So I checked all my options so I really knew what I was going to eat during the fights.
I don't know if I'm jealous of you being that conscientious or it just sounds like the worst life experience ever.
I think it's half and half.
I had really nice pizza and stuff with the fights last night after going to a lovely gig, and it was all just my little bit of organisation.
What did you have on your pizza?
I didn't actually have pizza, I had sides. So they've got these new mac and cheese bites. So I had mac and cheese bites, two different kinds of chicken, garlic bread with cheese, and a cookie, the cookie dough stuff that it's warm cookie dough with ice cream on it.
So you missed hanging out backstage with Neil Gaiman for some dough balls, basically.
No. So it was mac and cheese balls, two different types of chicken, garlic bread with cheese, and it was like warm cookie dough with ice cream on.
No. It sounds decent. Sorry.
And then the UFC, which was a hell of a UFC. I mean, we'll talk a lot more UFC later on in the podcast, but just quickly. Good night last night, wasn't it? Usman Covington truly delivered as a fight.
Lovely to see Covington on Instagram today saying, awful job. I was stitched up by Mark Goddard, spelt Goddard wrong.
Brilliant. I mean, the fact is, if it had gone to a decision, he'd lost anyway on the judge's scorecard because he would have lost the last round, obviously, because he got stopped. That's one. It's a solid reason. Yeah,
I think if you get your jaw broken, you lose.
Yeah, that's one of the rules. But yeah, I thought it was great, and it was weird because you were really excited about that fight, Stu. And my thing I'd said to you was like, I'm worried that it's going to end up being a mid-level kickboxing fight, and we're not going to see this amazing match of wrestlers. And it did, but it was brilliant because it was. They were mid-level, but that meant that they could connect a lot with each other. Yeah. They didn't have the defense and. It made it fantastic because often if you've got two great wrestlers, they cancel each other out. And vice versa, if you've got two really good strikers, they might end up on the ground. Like when Paul Daly when Paul Daly wrestled MVP. Mm. And it's like things like that. It can cancel out and become a boring fight. But this cancelled out but became anything but a boring fight.
Yeah. Bye-bye Uriah Faber. Probably done there.
Yep.
He had like 35 fights now. It's a lot of fights. But
Peter Yan looked amazing. He's great though. Again, it was amusing talking.
Excuse me,
Badass.
It was amazing. It was a funny talk hearing a lot of people talking about Faber. Oh, it's exciting. He's going to smash him. It's like, you've not been watching because Peter Yan is just... He's one... I've got later on some notes of some fights I've enjoyed this year, but also some fighters of the year. And Peter Yan is one of them. He's just been smashing fools and just looked so good, didn't he? Mm. I thought Aldo and Mariah's both looked fantastic as well.
I felt Aldo nicked it.
Yeah, right. Potentially. I thought it was a close fight. I didn't think there was any robberies or anything. Mm-hmm. It was fair that Mariah's won. But yeah, I was ready for Aldo to look crap at such a drop in weight, but he looked really good.
I had Mariah's with Cejudo as one of my favourite fighters this year.
Yeah, he's
and weirdly,
fight.
And obviously I don't like Henry Cejudo, mainly because I just don't like the shape of his head.
It's a weird shaped head.
Yeah, weird shaped head, and he doesn't put gel in his hair, and it looks fluffy.
I bet he's got that haircut in all his school photos.
Oh, he does, he really does.
Oh, that's a plan I was going to have. Stu, look at me and not anywhere else.
Chris, look at you.
Chris, sorry. Yeah, Chris, look at me and not anywhere else. Yeah. What haircut has Stu got?
It's quite generic.
I realised the other day he's just got the most nondescript hair. I was genuinely thinking a lot of people who see him a lot, if you're not looking at him, describe his hair, you'd be like, he's just got hair.
He looks like a comic book character called Stormfront from The Boys, which is like a superhero super soldier. Other than that, I've got nothing.
Nondescript, but yeah, just speaking of haircuts. Yeah, sorry, it was good.
Anyway, you could describe was slightly Nazi.
Wonderful. Well, my girlfriend says, isn't Stu handsome? I'm like, stop describing my mates as handsome. And I don't know if I haven't said this to you, Pip, but I was saying this to Stu the other day. My mum absolutely mugged me off, and if you were there, you'd have been so happy. So mum was asking me the other day where I'd been that day, and I think it was when we had our gaming night. And I said, can I say your normal name, or should we keep it?
Yeah, sure,
no, so I said, I'm going around Dave's. And she was like, Dave, because obviously mum's, God bless her, got dementia and that. And she does remember people, but it takes a little bit of prompting. Dave, tall Dave. She was like, no. And I remember one time she said something, and she said it. And like, you know when you say something, she instantly regretted it. And I know she did. She went, I'm literally going back 20 years. One day she went, Dave, start with me, Dave. And I just went, Mum, how dare you? Like back then,
that's the
I made her feel awful. And she's like, no, I don't mean that. I was just trying to explain. And you know what she said? So I said to her this time, because it's fun to play games with people with dementia. I went, Stuttery Dave. And you know, she looked at me deadpan. She went, Handsome Dave. I was like,
that's the one. That's the one. Have that backfire.
My God, it really backfired on me. So yeah.
I love it.
My mate Lee Antonio, I grew up with when I was probably about 14. And I remember sort of like probably getting like one of my first sort of girlfriends, just like nervously trying. I was quite late on all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was Greek Cypriot, looked like a kind of, looked like Glenn Medeiros, I don't know if you remember.
A bit of an Adonis, wasn't he?
Yeah. And I just remember my mum going, got your girlfriend? And I was like, oh, yeah, might be. You know, going out of her and that. What's she like? I went, yeah, she's all right. And he went, Lee got a girlfriend? And I went, yeah. She went, don't surprise me, he's going to break a lot of hearts, that one. And then just basically went on to go on about our answer. And no, in between us, where it's just like, Will's mum. Like, I need to lower my standards. But
got thirsty. You didn't hook up with girls till later on. Did you have, when did you go through puberty? Was you early bloomer?
20s.
No, 1920s.
Yeah. Was you a late bloomer as well? Did you?
I was.
Yeah. That's a tough one, isn't it? That I was kind of. I was quite late. It's awkward, isn't it? That at school in the showers and that.
Yeah. You were probably part wolf when you was about 13, weren't you?
Yeah. I won't say which part. Doesn't even make sense. I mean, it comes to a note I just looked at on my phone. It must be something I've just heard on Hardcore Listing, but I just made a note that Stu mentioned that about his kids shaving his back for him.
Oh, this is so disgusting.
Today.
Well, they've shaved that. It still looks
today,
like this.
I mean, trimmed, not shaved.
Well, I can't see, can I? I don't know.
Your back's still hairy, mate.
Really hairy. So your kids shave your back, do they? Is this a thing?
Yeah, so.
You mentioned it casually on a hard listen, and no one came back to it or highlighted. I'm like, well, this needs to be addressed.
and rightly so. So...
What, that they shave your back?
No, that's borderline child cruelty. I'm Pip, I'm a hairy man.
Mm.
And yeah, as I've got older, the kind of hair where I want it seems to not be there quite so much. And where I don't want it, it's all over the place. Yeah. So it was like, okay, well, I can shave my chest myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a big boy.
And exactly. And then the back, it's tricky, right?
Yeah, it is tricky.
So I just think, if I ask my wife, she'll probably fancy me even less than she already does.
Yeah, you've got to try and hold on to something.
Yeah. So I was like,
speaking of lowering standards.
So I was like, House, can you do us a favour? And then,
does she do it for pocket money?
No. So this was about a year ago.
I just need to highlight that your daughter's name's Hallie.
Yeah.
It sounds as if you said House then. Like
sorry, the fictional doctor. All right. We've all got speech impediments, mate.
Like the fictional doctor, House MD.
Don't vote me into your speech.
I'm imagining House MD coming and shaving your back.
But she's 17 now. She's just blatantly refusing. This morning I was like...
Rightfully so.
I was like, House, can you come and shave my back? And she was just like, no. And I was like, Layla. She was like, oh, don't. And I was like, oh, come on. She was like, oh, all right. So, yeah, there I was holding a bin with my hands behind my back while she's roaring the clippers up my back.
Oh, dear.
The other question is, why are you shaving your back for your mum's 70th? What was she...
You know he was shaving his back for the drunk cast. Don't make no mistake about it.
I know you boys want me smooth as an eel.
Wonderful. What a strange and unexpected tale. Yeah, you never know what's going on in people's houses, do you?
There we go.
You never know what's going on next door.
My girlfriend, again, had identified a picture the other day. Well, no, it was the other, this is probably about 3 months ago. Just from your fingers.
Yeah, I mean, another thing I was going to say is it's amazing how often my hairiness comes up on Hardcore Listing.
Your hairy hands a lot.
Yeah, Stu's daughter shaves his back for him and Chris got his mum to wax his ass for him. That doesn't come up at all. It always comes up that I trim my fingers because I happily... spoke to your partner about it. Had a good chat one time. I was like, I'll give him a little trim, have a tidy up if I'm going out somewhere nice. I wasn't ashamed of it. It then became she found out that Pip shaved. Like, no. We had a nice friendly conversation, like as if it's some big investigative thing on a night out.
Some weren't interested. Some were not interested. I always felt...
Molly came in with her file, and what she's found is Pip trims his fingernails. If you look in these different pictures, his finger hair. But, yeah.
My mum waxing my bum at the time felt like the right thing to do. And, like...
Leave it there. Just stop that chat.
That was her first suggestion.
Yeah. That's fine,
leave it there, Chris. No.
Okay, all right, let's leave
I'm
it
not
there.
Putting my trousers back on until you deal with this. My bum, I mean. So, shall we go to... We're 40 minutes in. Shall we go to some online questions?
Oh, yeah, yes. Go on then. I'm sort of really... I'm feeling it.
I've also got a thing. As I came up with you two as the Ren and Stimpy of podcasting, I'd also like you to think of more like cartoon duos. Like people have said Bert and Ernie before.
We have, thank you.
You have.
Yeah.
I had Woody, Chris, and Buzz Lightyear, Stu, but more Buzz Heavy Year.
Yep.
Because of how tired you look.
Oh God!
Woody and Buzz Heavy Year, but yeah, if you can think of more people for you two to be, you can think of some nice ones if you want. I've only gone for really horrible ones, but
can you think of any comic cat Tom and Jerry? That's not that funny, is it? Really? We'll leave it there until we're pissed.
But should we go for some questions?
Go on, then.
Yes.
Well, one question that because they've still been coming in, and I've liked the ones that I thought would be good to address. But one that's come in since I've done that is just says. Why Chris?
Every Saturday goes through my mind.
Which is the best question. That's from Tramp Lavelle.
Hey, he's a legend.
A question that I think will be quite... I've got a quick answer for.
Just to go back to that quickly.
Why Chris?
Is he asking me and you, like, why Chris? Or is he literally saying to Chris, why Chris?
Why'd you do it to yourself, hanging out with these... fart knuckles of human beings.
I remember when I was at school, my English teacher took my mate Martin Birmingham aside and told him that he could do better than hanging out with me and Mark Irvine. He said that he's really clever and he should be hanging out with people better than us two. It's like, fuck off, love.
That is so funny.
I've had two books out.
Both colouring books.
Exactly. Pandy Gilligan asked, was The Irishman too long? And I gave him a quick answer of, no. We may discuss it, but quickly, no, it's not. But I watched it in the cinema, and it flew by and was one of the most engaging things. But it did make me sad, the thought that it's on Netflix, because I think that's going to be really hard to not glimpse at your phone. It's 3.5 hours to not glimpse at your phone, or just pause and get up and go to the toilet. All these different things that can ruin the flow of a film. But there was a headline that was bullshit when you read the actual article, but all people do now is read the headline. There was a headline that said only 18% of people who watched The Irishman on Netflix finished it, which was depressing to me. It turns out is only 18% finished it in their first sitting. And at first that saddened me, but then I thought, well, no, if you're treating it like a series, just watch an hour each night or 70 minutes each night or whatever, and that's really nice because it is broken up in the ages. Mm-hmm. It does kind of go along. So, but yeah, I thought it was amazing and just an absolute, work of art.
Yeah, I thought it was dope. Do I think it's... I don't know. Because did you watch it twice in the first day?
No, I watched it once. My acting teacher watched it twice in one day because he was just blown away by the performances.
Yeah.
Specifically Joe Pesci and Stephen Graham. Man, he just said the two of them were just blew his mind. Obviously, it's weird because, again, I think it's wrong that people are going, well, obviously, Pacino and De Niro, obviously, they're always amazing. But it's like, well, no, they've had a lot of not amazing in recent years as well. So their performance was as exciting as anyone for me because of that. But yeah.
No, I did think it was dope. Have you seen it, Stu?
I haven't. And purely for that reason. We spoke about it a week ago and you was telling me about the thing, you know, if it's on Netflix, you're likely to probably pick up your phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, a Scorsese, I'd much rather watch that in the cinema, but I think, you know, that's not going to happen now. And so I don't think I could watch it in bits. I'd want to just dedicate the time and watch it.
You know what? As stupid as it sounds, I think it's good for this time of year.
Yeah.
Because at Christmas, you do have that time when the TV's on all afternoon or whatever. So putting on a 3.5 hour film at this time of year, I think is reasonable.
Yeah, because no one's going to want to talk to you anyway for that time. Go around your family's house and just, you'd put it on and just shut up for 3.5 hours.
No, but there's a point in the day that just TV tends to go on and it'll normally be repeats of Only Fools and All and just nonsense shit. Like there's a point, there's obviously the bit where you're all interacting, but there's a point where you're all in the food coma.
Yeah, food coma.
Or equally when you're on your own.
Oh, like, sorry, you're actually talking about Christmas Day.
No, not necessarily Christmas Day. I've been pushed into that corner by Chris there. But no, I do think Chris says well, but I think also when
lots of people finish work for a week, don't they?
Yeah. And for me, like when I get home from Christmas Day, it is that kind of, oh, that was nice. Oh, actually, there's still 4 hours left of the day coming. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So having something like that is quite, I think it's good. But as a little teaser, the first celebrity question in part two is going to be from The Irishman's Stephen Graham.
Questions from celebrities for the drunk
from cast. Celebrities who have sent them in recorded to ask us questions on the drunk cast.
Oh, I'm loving this.
Yes, mate. I literally came up with it 2 hours ago, so there's that's not great. Loads. But I've got a few great ones in, so yeah. That's exciting.
I forgot what I was going to say now. I was one of those people who watched it in a part.
Yeah.
And I was forced to.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have been forced to if I was in a cinema because my phone went and I kind of like went, ugh. And then I took the call and then that made me had to do other things.
And
then
the therefore, cinema, you wouldn't then, have.
I would have never
done
that.
Would have been on silent.
I'd have just cut it off. But I couldn't not watch it. As soon as it popped up on Netflix, I didn't realise that it had gone to Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I was over the moon and I thought it was really cool that that Netflix had actually acquired it and that so many people would have that available to them. I do know there's massive drawbacks and I experienced it because I had to watch it in two parts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of was pleasantly surprised on Netflix.
I mean, that brings in a good question. Let me find it because it's one that I wanted to discuss because here we go. From Eddie Ward Wallace.
Good name.
Are there too many subscription TV services popping up with really great shows across them? Netflix, Amazon, Disney Plus, all this kind of thing. And is it detrimental to people who can only afford one or two subscriptions, forcing more online pirating? Now, for me, I think the more the better. And I think the reason I think that, this is going to sound harsh, but I think we've really started to cheapen art and entertainment. And I think it's a genuine thing that we don't respect it enough. Like, again, the fact that, and I think it'll change because I think as soon as your online services have completely taken over, all the prices will ramp up. Because Sky and that was like 70 quid a month or whatever it will be, or 50 quid a month, yeah. all these different things. And then Netflix pops up at $8.99 a month for everything.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. And the fact is, for these amazing things to be made, it takes, like The Irishman, I was obviously knowing Stevie, I was talking to him for months and months as he was filming that, and the amount of work and effort that went into that,
for sure.
it should have some value.
Have you seen the round table with them all?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's really good.
So, yeah, that's my answer there. Again, I think it is a shame, but also I think we need to get used to the fact that we can't have everything. So if you can only afford Netflix, then you'll only have Netflix. Again, the pirating's a tough thing because I'm not into that, but I get it will happen anyway. But yeah, I think we've really built a thing where we feel that we're all entitled to everything for free.
Mm.
And I know I'm biased because I've been doing music for years, and now in acting, I'm working on a TV show at the moment and a film next year and stuff like that. And it's like, I see the long, long hours that are going into this, and it is worth something. And everyone, it's got genuine value, and it's important.
And I mean, not obviously mine and Chris's shower of shit, but podcasts.
Yeah. Or again, I think they're one of the things that are guilty of it. It's one of the things that troubles me the most is that we do these podcasts. It's getting everyone used to endless amounts of free entertainment.
Mm.
And I love it, but I do think there's negative outcomes and things from it, because we're getting more and more used to it. No, I just expect everything
it's a brave, free. It's a brave new world. And I think that things like Patreon and stuff like that, and when I discovered Patreon, I was blown away by the fact people would just give you money for doing what you're doing. Even if you wasn't, you know, obviously we developed
probably,
it further.
Yeah, but that probably applies to people that are doing something of value rather than what we do. Do you know what I'm saying?
So check out patreon.com/hardcore listing.
But that's the weird thing, isn't it? It's the assumption that the bigger things don't need your money, but the smaller things. Like, I think there's a lot more grassroots stuff people are keen to support, and there's an assumption. But like me and B watched Six Underground a couple of nights ago, the new Ryan Reynolds one on Netflix, and she commented quite early on, there's a lot of product placement in this, and there was, but I was like, I'm all right with that. I'm glad it's being made. Do you know what I mean? It does look a bit crass, and I'd rather they didn't have to do that. But again,
sometimes,
that will be the way that things go. If it will have to be constant product placement if you want it. But yeah, I'm a big supporter and believer. And again, it comes from a place of I'm not destitute on the street. Yeah. I'm not. There was a guy online recently who was mad at me because I was saying how the Tories are shit, and he did this big post because my estimated value online is between £100,000 and £1 million. it's big boundaries there, big borders. But yeah, again, and he was saying it's disgusting. All these people have made all this money off the Tories, now want them gone. And I'm like, well, if I was worth £1 million, I'd be saying I want to give a lot of that away under a different government. But yeah, it was quite amusing. But yeah, anyway, I just think, yeah, I really value paying for stuff that you support and believe in.
I agree. If it's used and you get the final product.
Yeah,
but it can have a negative impact as well. It can take you out of the film.
Coca-Cola had a massive involvement in Ghostbusters.
Can I interest you in a Captain Morgan gingerbread spiced
yes,
rum?
Yes, please, baby.
Oh, it's
thank
a
you.
Lovely.
It's done a lot, but
what do you think on the streaming services?
Okay, right. So
I know I rambled on then because I've seen that one in advance.
I had to contact Sky because they were charging my parents £120 a month. And they didn't really realise, because they're both quite, at the time, quite old and jittery.
Genuinely, it's what parents are used to as well.
That's bollocks, isn't it?
And they just cracked it. They just kept scaling it up. And I'm not saying that they weren't offering loads of services, but, you know, you can pick and choose now.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of dangerous. And like you say, I think this whole, like, in what you're entitled to is... And also, I think at your age is a funny one, because I did this, like, in my mid-20s, I stole quite a lot of... music.
Gold.
Yeah. I stole quite a lot of music and actually and film off a few LimeWire things. For a few years, I did that. Mm. And then I realised, really, I mean, obviously, strangely, one of my best mates is a musician and stuff like that. And so maybe it was brought to my attention quicker that I shouldn't be doing that. But I think there's points when you do dumb shit like that and you actually grow up and you learn from it.
And completely, and I don't think it's a case of demonising anyone who does that. Because I think it's not realised. And I think there's more and more generations of people who are coming up who just don't realise that stuff has value.
No.
Because, again, it's building a society where we're used to it all being...
No, and there's a point at which when you mature and you see... And then, as going back to Patreon, when you see people paying for your service... And I talk to, strangely, like my cousin a lot, Robin, and she'll be like... She gives really decent money to people who are doing the smallest, most niche things online because she loves it. So yeah, it is getting there. We are... I don't know. There's part of it is the entitled thing. They think it's all for free. For example, Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Is that I am itching to watch it and I keep seeing shit online and I'm like, oh, fuck, if I don't see it soon, it's all going to be ruined for me.
I'm the same.
But I'm like, where do I watch it? But with for paying for it.
Do you have to pay for Disney?
Yeah,
for
it's
that?
Disney Plus is where yeah. you. And again, someone that we both know, Chris, has sent me a link to it. And I was like, I appreciate this, but I don't want that. Because I'm the same. I want to watch it. If it was on Netflix, I would have started it already.
Yeah,
at the moment, I'm going, I'll get Disney Plus at Christmas, and I'll try it out there when I've got time to really have a dig into the back catalogue and see if I want it. But I've held off on that for that exact same reason. It makes me think of, again, I was kind of on my Patreon. Like, I don't push my Patreon a lot, but one of the things I've been thinking at this time of year is like, I mean, at the moment, there's a year's worth of bonus episodes and Poem of the Month and all that.
Poem of the Month?
Yeah, but that's it. But it's $1 a month. But equally, just get 1 month.
Yeah.
Like, if you're off work, you could just pay $1 and get that whole year's worth of extra podcasts.
Do you know what?
And just help yourself. And things like that. It's like, I'm not even mad at that because it's there. It's not going to... I've done everything I had to do to produce it. It would have been nice if people were there all year round. And I love the ones who were and have supported because it's meant I can pay Buddy Moore and pay John Harris and pay Gerard, who does the online stuff, and all these people. But equally, it's like, if you're off over Christmas and you want to spend $1 on a load of free bits,
go
and help yourselves.
We say, go and have a look. There's about 50, 60 episodes over there.
Yeah. If you've got tons more. And your ones are literally what people love already. Mine are a bit of a different version. There's no guest. It's not. But yours is more top fives.
I mean, there's no poetry on ours, is there?
Not yet. But I think we need to expand into that. I might just raid your house for poems.
I mean, go
and
ahead.
Then we can perform them in the style of Tom's Diner.
My Poem of the Month stuff is all stuff that I found on a hard drive from years ago. So it's like some shit.
Listen, we can't put anything on my hard drive from years ago onto Patreon.
What, just stuff that you wrote when you was a kid?
Or not when I was a kid, but when I was starting out as Scroobius.
So dope. Right.
So
it's really cool.
It's the first folder I had where here's where I put everything. And I, I open the folder and did sort by date. So it's just literally the first one. So I've just gone through each one. I had one in there that turned into angles. Some that I'd literally forgotten completely. And one is the most pretentious bullshit you've ever heard. It's literally a 5-minute poem all around the idea of
your balls.
The end line is we were thinking so far outside the box we didn't know it existed. But it's so shit. It's this guy going on this big journey then finding the box in like the desert, and it's that's the think inside the box, but we're so far outside it there's like a 5-minute poem. It's so wanky and pretentious, but again, it's fun. It was fun to go to give a little bit of, right, okay, that's it. Then read it. Then go, right, here's what was shit about that. Or here's what I like.
And I'd be a quid, please.
Thank you and good night.
But going back to that, firstly, that sounds really cool. But if people want to do that with our service, so $10 is a podcast every week.
Yeah.
$15 is a video. Excuse me. Normally me and you in the bath. Triple X rated. But if people want to come on for a month and just blitz through shit for a month and then fuck off, I don't care, man. Like, because it's just a different way of, you know, approaching spending your money. But, you know, instead of cigarettes or whatever, you just...
But that's my point, I guess, is that you see any industry you get into, you realise how small it is. And or bands, for example. You'll think of, when we were listening to Sage and that lot, they're these huge American artists. And then I meet them and they're... just getting by.
No,
they're doing what they do.
You'd think that they'd have some sort of like mansion because of how much value you put on their words.
But it's when you get inside it, you see that. And I think there is a big propensity now to support YouTubers and Twitchers and stuff like that, which is dope, and Patreon. But it's assuming that, because again, how much would the Irishman have been ruined if there was tons of product placement in it? It's the kind of film that Six Underground, a Michael Bay film with Ryan Reynolds.
Fine.
You can play that as a joke.
Yeah.
You can play up to the product placement. The Irishman, it would have genuinely ruined it. And that kind of thing worries me. There's another Netflix film that's going to be in my Films of the Year list, Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm. And that's one that's just absolutely amazing. I'm so glad that... Again, it saddens me that more people aren't going into the cinema to see these things. But, you know, the last Drunkcast, I had a really big go at Stu about that because of the Journeyman. So I won't do it again now. but yeah, it is. It's one of them where it's just... Yeah, I just think it's really important that these films continue to get made. And just as a little plug, in the new year, two of the first guests I've got on the podcast are the directors of Uncut Gems, the Safdie brothers, who did Good Time and Heaven Knows What, and the director of The Lighthouse, Robert Eggers, and The Witch.
As soon as,
they're really good ones.
Pip told me that earlier, casually, about Robert Eggers, and I just can't believe
it. Mate, the Eggers one is one of my favourites, because I was talking to Brett Goldstein about this. I came out, I said, I fluked sounding like I know everything about films.
So you just kind of, the conversation flew into areas that you knew
I had really good knowledge on and could bring really good quotes and references. Yeah. And it's like, I felt like Mr. Cinema, the creator of cinema.
To me, what he did with The Witch
in front of him as well, because he has said, I completely agree, he's someone that is so respected. He's done two films, and he's like, everyone's like, he's a great.
They're black and white films, right?
Yeah. But they're really good, I was nervous going into that one, and I'm not often that nervous on them, but I was like, I think I'm going to get exposed here. I'm going to go in, and he's going to be making all these references, and I'm going to be like, don't know what mise en scène means. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, I came out going like, oh, I'm glad that ended. Like, I only had like 50 minutes or something, but it was like, it was a rare one. I was like, I'm glad that ended where it did, because it felt at any point I could become exposed. At any moment he's going to say something, and I'm going to be like, he's going, you've never seen a film, have you?
So Stu, right, you've off the beaten track, you've had loads of amazing people on now. Has there been anyone that you felt like that? Like where you were like really, really nervous? Like you were
intimidated,
oh, shit,
almost.
James Lavelle.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like, just because massive fan. And I know, you know, he's working in Honest John's Records at 14. He knows everything about fucking tunes and records. And
did he call you out on this, like some of those bands that you've made up or what?
No. He was charming and nice and super interesting. And
not that we like to be nice to each other, but one of my favourite things about Stu on Off the Beaten Track and on Hardcore Listening is how comfortable he is in his music knowledge.
Oh, it's great.
What I really enjoy is they'll say a record and go, do you know that one? And he'll just go, yep. And it'll sound like you're bullshitting. Do you know what I mean? It'll sound like, I don't really know, yep. Yeah. And then it'll push and you'll have all this, but you won't instantly go, yes, here's all my information, here's my proof. There's just such, and I do that a lot. If someone gets onto something, I want to prove to them I do know what they're talking about. Here's my story about it and all that. And it's nerves and insecurity, but
I love how confident
Stu is on a lot of that. And anytime it's pushed, it's like, I've got the original 7-inch of that or this or that. And it's one of my most enjoyable parts of your presenting style that is that. Particularly on the music ones, and when it's anything musical on Hardcore Listening,
his passion like for that is pretty cool.
Because I said, because I know I do the opposite. And I'll be like, you said something I half know, here's everything about it.
My dad used to say to me at school, you're going to be, people are going to like you and others are going to hate you, because you've I've always got my hand up. Because of that insecurity that urge to say, okay, that's a subject I know. I need to communicate that I know what I'm talking about.
On it. Yeah. And again, it's not a flexing of your muscle or showing off. It's a trying to get on the level. Like one of the techniques I've built, and it's my favourite thing, and it worked. One of the best examples of it is on the Kano episode from this year. In my research, I will find things that I know that we have a connection on that they won't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So that the earlier I can bring that up, the more comfortable they become. And the Kano one's a prime example of that. Like, his PR people like that.
Well, it depends what that subject is. So, you're a big fan of kiddie pool, then? What?
Photos I've seen of you in the bath. Got to hit me wallet.
Yeah, yeah. I know them taps. but it was on that one, because his PR people all said it was the most relaxed I've heard him in an interview and how good it was. But it's because quite early on, I mentioned Getz and Bashy, Because they're both people I know and have a history with, and I know he grew up with them. So it's literally, it makes it go, oh, this isn't just a chat with someone on the, on BBC Radio 1 who's heard my last two singles and has been told I'm in. It's someone who's actually, and again, it, it sounds weird because it sounds like you're trying to make it all about you. But if you listen, I'll tend to do it once or twice, and it's purely to go, now we're just chatting as people rather than I'm the interviewer and you're this person. Yeah, definitely. I like that.
I think, how long have we been running now?
Hour and a bit.
Okay, so shall we call it and then shall we start with Top Boy?
Yes, yes. Because another one I've not revealed is one of my guests next year. It's not going to be coming out till March. It's Ashley Waters recorded it this week.
Asher D.
But yeah. Anyway, let's stop and we will be back shortly.
Mate.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
Okay, so now I'm recording outros for episode 1 and episode 2. Literally moments after I've recorded the intros and I'm still drunk from the drunk cast. That was episode 1. Not too bad, right? Honestly, it gets a lot messier. By the end of episode 5, we're screaming at each other. I think the end of episode 4, we're screaming at each other. This has been episode 1 of the Drunk Cast. I can only apologise. Episode 2 will be out on Friday, and then it'll be the Monday, then the Wednesday, then the Wednesday. I think, is that 5? Anyway, see you all in a bit.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.